Good morning, church. This morning we are talking about worship, and that's been our theme for this month. Now, I just want to remind you that worship is more than... Whoa, we've lost our back screen. I might just wait till we catch up. Okay. That's all right. So basically, our theme for this year has been In His Footsteps, but our theme for this month is about worship. And so today we are actually looking at worship. Now, worship is more than just sitting in church and worshiping and singing using our voices. It is far more than that, as Ben and Andrew have already alluded to today. And Ben, a couple of weeks ago, spoke about worship in terms of Satan falling down like lightning, because worship and praise actually overcomes the enemy. And then Gavin spoke about the woman at the well and worshiping in spirit and in truth, and that we need to actually, it's not about where we worship, but it's about how we worship. And so again, these have been some of the things that have preceded. So again, it's not about just worship at the front. Ben spoke about Satan has overcome and we need to use our praise and worship. Gavin spoke about the woman at the well and worshiping in spirit and in truth. It's not about where you worship. It's about your heart attitude. And so today I'm going to continue that theme about worship. So before we go any further, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just really want to come before you because we long to honor you, and yet we know that we don't always do it well. We want to glorify your name, and yet too often we seek to glorify ourselves. God, we want to have our eyes totally fixed on you, and yet we chase the things of the world. So, Lord, may this morning you speak to our hearts and our minds in a way that teach us and remind us to cling closer to you in every season, come what may. So, worship is really part of the greatest commandment, where Jesus told his disciples, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is worship. And I really love one of these other translations that says like this. Jesus replied to him, you should love the Lord your God completely. Love him with all your mind. Love him with all that you are, and love him in all that you think. Loving God completely, that is our act of worship. But worship is not just about worshiping God when everything is rainbows and gumdrops and standing in sunflowers. That sometimes is easy. Or it's perhaps easy when we think that we live in a fantasy world where we can have second breakfasts. And, you know, nothing bad happens. But that's not reality. You know, Forrest Gump says it like this. My mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. And that is true. It's easy to worship God when everything is great, but we don't always know what life is going to hand us. What happens when we think we're reaching for a chocolate and we get a lemon?
Lemon. Did you want some lemon? You want to try some bites? Try a big bite. Big bite, big bite. What do you think? Pretty good? You try some more? No more lemon? No more lemon? No? Anything else? Or back to something else?
You know, sometimes we can feel like that. We can feel like that little baby. We can feel like, you know, we're reaching for something that's going to be sweet. We're reaching for a chocolate and someone gives us a lemon and it flips our beautiful fantasy world upside down. Well, how do we worship God then? Well, in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Or be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow. That is true worship. Not just when we feel like it, not just when it's rainbows and sunflowers, but rejoicing in the Lord always. Even when our world gets flipped, even when we get given a lemon and we think we're supposed to be given a chocolate. And that is sacrificial praise. That is choosing, making a conscientious decision to worship God when our world has been flipped and things are not going well. But what is sacrificial praise? What does it really mean? Well, I think it means honoring God despite your circumstances. I think it means spending time with God despite your schedule. I think it means living a life of generosity despite your ideals or your income. And I believe it means being consistent in all of the above in every season, come what may. Sacrificial praise costs you something. And it's not just about singing when things are bad. It's about honoring God in so many different ways in every area of your life. That is sacrificial praise. And yet most times when we think of sacrificial praise, we think of something that happens to King David when he goes through a hard season. Now, if you know your Bible well, you may know this Bible passage. So we're going to pick it up from 2 Samuel 12. And this is where Nathan rebukes David because David didn't do the right thing and he had an affair and Nathan comes to tell him off because Bathsheba's had a child. Now, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. Now David pleaded with God for the child, and he fasted and spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. Can you get the picture? Like, David's been rebuked, and he's told that the child is ill, and he's fasting and praying. And the elders of the household stood beside him and told him to get up from the ground, but he refused and he would not eat any food with them. And on the seventh day, the child died. And David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering amongst themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed, he put on lotions and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he went to his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. Now, for many of us, we think that that is the be-all and the end-all of sacrificial praise, worshiping God when our heart is broken and torn. Now, for many of you here at the moment, you have lost. You have lost someone and you're grieving. And perhaps the very thought of trying to worship God in that place is so hard. And yet God knows our heartache. God is not asking us to pretend. He's not asking us to put on a mask. He knows the rawness of what we feel of loss. He knows the rawness of our loss, not just of a family member or a friend, but also loss of a dream, of an ideal, or of health, or whatever it is. I remember when my mum passed away and the church was packed and I couldn't even be at the front with my family because I was so ill myself. And I was just crying out to God. And I was standing right at the very, very back, the last row near the back doors. And the song came on, In Christ Alone. And I just said, God, I want to give all that I have, all my heartache to you. And I sang as loud as I could. And when it came to one part of that song, I stood up on the chair with my arms up and I sang so loud because I just wanted to declare that even in my loss and my heartache and my sorrow, I was still choosing to worship my God. You see, what is sacrificial praise? Sacrificial praise costs us something. It's honoring God despite our circumstances. It's spending time with God despite our schedule. It's living a life of generosity despite our ideals. And it's being consistent in all of the above in every season, come what may, because it's not just about grief and loss. It's choosing to honor God and praise Him in some form, in some way that is going to cost us. Psalm 34 says this. Now, a little background is Psalm 34 comes out of a time when King Saul is trying to kill David. And so he runs to a town and he pretends that he's insane in front of Abimelech. And then it says this, I will praise the Lord at all times and I will constantly speak his praises. Now, King David has been running for his life. He is the rightfully anointed king at that time. King Saul's chasing him and David pretends to be insane and it says he lets the drool dribble down his beard and his chin. And he still says, I will praise the Lord at all times and I will constantly speak his praises. He's been living in a cave, not a palace. He's pretending he's insane. And he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. That's sacrificial praise. But sacrificial praise is also about balance. Why does God actually allow hard times to come? We have night, but we have day. The night actually allows us to appreciate the day. The sorrow actually allows us to know when there is good times. And so there is a measure where we need some of one to counteract the other. But I also believe that God allows a measure of sorrow because he knows that we have fickle faith. What do I mean by that? God knows that our faith is not always as strong as it should be, and that too often we lose sight of him. This is what it says in Deuteronomy. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valley and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Isn't that what happened to Satan? He became proud. He forgot his rightful place. That is fickle faith. And we are all in danger of having fickle faith. Fickle faith is we only worship God when all is going well. We only come to church when we have nothing better to do. Or we get angry at God when life gets complicated. And we forget God when life is very comfortable. No, we need to have life in balance. And actually, we need a little bit of both to keep things in balance because sweet and sour balance things out. Now, I love to cook. Now, when you make a good stir fry, it's not just the garlic and the onions and all the sour concepts. Often you'll add a little bit of something sweet. You'll add some brown sugar, or you'll add some coconut sugar, or you'll add some sweet soy. And when you cook a cake, sometimes I've got a beautiful recipe for a chocolate cake, and you know what the amazing ingredient in it is? It's got vinegar in it. And that sounds weird, but it actually brings out the flavor. Or if you've had a hot chocolate with a pinch of chili, and it brings out the flavor. God actually allows things to bring the best out of us. And he knows we need to have sweet things in life, but we also need to have some hard things in life to balance it out and still ultimately say that he is Lord. So this is our litmus test. So when you came into church today, you had a little bookmark given to you, and it said that there's a litmus test. Now, I'm not a scientist. Most of my science experiments go wrong. For those who remember years ago, some of my science experiments we did online, they never turned out very well. But a litmus test is finding out if something is acidic or alkaline, where it sits in the pH marker. And so we need to find out, where are you in your faith? Are you too much sweet, or are you too much sour? Do you just only love God when things are all going well, or has things in life made you bitter towards God and bitter towards life? Remember, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your mind. I said that wrong. You should love the Lord your God completely, love him with all your mind, love him with all that you are, and love him in all that you think. Well, what does that mean, though? When you all boil it down, what are the nuts and bolts of that? How can we equate that to our everyday living? How can I love God with all that I am, with all of me? And if I was to make a list, what would it look like? What can sacrificial praise and what can sacrificial worship look like to God in everyday life? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians 5. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, i.e. don't get too comfortable. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. How are we going so far? Always be joyful. Oh, I've failed already. Never stop praying. Oh, now I'm really done. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. This is our litmus test. This is how we should be living. This is our sacrificial life. James 1, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. But wait, there's more. Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And you've heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. All this is sacrificial praise. All of those things are sacrificial praise. It's not just a season in your life. It is every season in your life. Every season in your life should be sacrificial praise. Every season in your life should have some element of sacrificial praise, of not just honoring God in the things that are easy and comfortable and good, but in the things that cost you, in the things that are hard, in the things that only God sees that you do. So, how are you going on your litmus test? Where would you sit? Sweet or sour? Number one, do good. Number two, be patient. Number three, be joyful. Number four, never stop praying. Number five, always be thankful. Number six, don't block Holy Spirit. Number seven, encourage each other. Eight, care for widows, orphans, and the weak. Nine, meet regularly together and worship. And number 10, love your enemies. This is our litmus test, people. And you know what? We could make a list of 100 things. These are just 10. These are 10 things that God is calling us to do sacrificially, to honor him and to praise him and to declare that he is Lord. To worship him humbly, in spirit and in truth, in every season, all the days of our life. So what's the recipe to combat fickle faith? Love God with the all of you. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Stay humble and live simply. Be generous in word and deed, and repeat until the very end. What is a recipe to combat a wounded faith? It's still to love the Lord your God with all of you. And then it's to know that God sees you. God sees you in your pain. God sees you in your suffering. God sees that you strive so hard to keep all of those things, and yet you are still hurting. So be kind to yourself and others. Live more simply and generously, and continue to put your hope in God. Sacrificial praise is not just for a time in your life when you are grieving. Sacrificial praise is choosing to live that way constantly and consistently. But for some, sacrificial praise almost is a daily burden. If that's you, if you're feeling like you've been in a season where you've really been struggling, if you have been so weighed down by sorrow and grief and heartache, then I want to remind you of these words of hope that are found in Isaiah 61. And he sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty of ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair, and in their righteousness they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. God sees you in your sorrow. God sees you in your suffering. God sees you in your heartache and your pain, even when no one else does. And he has promised to exchange, that there will be an exchange. If not on this earth, it will be in the afterlife in heaven with him, and he will exchange your crown of beauty of ashes. He will give you a garment of praise instead of mourning. and you'll be like oaks, righteous oaks planted for the Lord. This life is short. I wanted to find a great, big, massive jar and fill it with 25 kilos or 50 kilos of rice. And then I wanted to paint a single solitary grain of rice, black, purple, blue, whatever color we wanted to choose, and say, this is our life here on earth, and just drop it in the ocean of 50 kilos of rice. And then say, now, does what we do right here and now really seem so big in contrast to eternity with Jesus? It doesn't. Our life here is short, and we are meant to honor God with every moment of it, because when the day comes and we stand before Him, every tear, every sorrow will be wiped away, and none of it will matter anymore, because He will turn our mourning into joy, and He will embrace us and wipe away every tear from our eye. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, so often we get caught up in our own agendas and our own ideals and desires, our own heartache, our own pain, rather than choosing to worship You. And for some of us, we feel like we're stuck in a rut. We don't know how things can improve or get better. And the only way forward is but You, Jesus. Only by You, Jesus. Only by Your blood. Only by Your grace. Only by Your mercy. Only by Your healing. Only by Your transformative power. God, You see the hearts of the people here, and You know how many have been wounded, how many have been hurt, how many are filled with sorrow and sadness. And I just pray, Lord, that right now that they will just know that they are seen. That Elroy, the God who sees them in their heartache and in their sorrow. And they will feel a measure of comfort right now. They're not forgotten. And that You want to exchange all of that sadness and sorrow for joy. God, and for some of us who have been living life comfortably, perhaps too comfortably, I pray, God, that we will be reminded that sacrificial praise is not just for those who are hurting, that You are calling all of us to live sacrificially for You, to praise You with all that we are in every season, all of our days, come what may. God, help us to all worship You in spirit and in truth, humbly with all that we are, for You are the one true Lord. There is no one like You. And if we do not sing Your praises, the rocks themselves will cry out. So, Lord, let us declare that You are Lord of all in every season of our life. Amen.